This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the True Crime Squad. This is Katie Weaver here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Christy Brower. Hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
How's it going?
It's going. I'm exhausted today for reasons I have no idea why, but other than that, good.
Must be the full moon.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, we did have a full moon eclipse, so.
We did. That is true.
Well, we're here to talk about some white supremacist gang members, but some more white supremacist bullshit went down in Idaho that I think deserves a little airtime as well.
Yeah.
So you may be familiar with Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington. They are a basketball school. I mean, they're another kind of school, but you know, they are a
all basketball, all the time.
Yeah. Well, both of their teams, usually go far. Right. And this year was the same. And Gonzaga got to host part of the men's tournament. And because their women were doing so well, they got to host a part of the women's tournament. Wow. But there was also a big volleyball tournament in town. And Spokane's not a very big town. Mm-hmm. And really maxed them out on resources. So when the women were coming to town, it caused a little extra work for the NCAA to figure out where to put them. So some hotels in other towns were utilized. Now, in order for a team to stay in a hotel, it has to be NCAA approved, which basically means it has to be a pretty good place. They, you know, they're not putting student athletes up in hovels. They're in nice places. So they found a nice place for a couple of teams to stay in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So they were at a resort in Coeur d'Alene, and the Utes, that's the University of Utah, their women, along with their band and their cheerleaders and a bunch of other fans and supporters, all walked from the hotel down to a local restaurant to eat. And on their way there, a white pickup truck with a Confederate flag flying from it pulled up, started revving their engine and screaming racist slurs out the window at these people.
Well, it is Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yeah. And it was menacing and it was scary. And they went into the restaurant and discussed it. And, you know, everybody was a little shaken up and shocked and whatever. So they finished eating, headed back to the hotel. On their way back, not only did that white truck come back, but he came back with reinforcements. So at least two pickups then, revving up their motors, racing up and down, you know, the road in front of these people, screaming racial slurs out the window at them while they walked back to the hotel. And it was very upsetting and scary. And so at first they didn't really know what to do. This was like 6 in the evening. At 9 p.m., finally, one of the Utah donors actually called the police, and the police came, and now there's an investigation, and of course, now everyone is scrambling, because one of the things that happened is that this team said, we don't feel safe here. Like, we can't stay here. So the NCAA and another team that was also staying there that went, well, then by God, we're not safe here either. We have to go. So and the NCAA was able to find some accommodations back in Spokane and move both of these teams out of there. And I'm just pissed and disgusted and so over this. But moreover, on Twitter today, watching how many people in that area and throughout the state. There was actually a press conference this morning about it with the mayor of the of Coeur d'Alene and some other folks that was interrupted and ended abruptly by some white supremacists. Yep. Dave Riley and his ilk, the Idaho Freedom Foundation. I don't accept this. Mm-mm. I don't accept this in this state. I don't accept this from these people. I've spent the afternoon reading people on Twitter trying to deny that it ever happened, call this enormous group of people all liars. Mm. They haven't released any footage of this. And so, of course, that means that it's a lie. Yeah, same shit, different day. So the FBI is actually investigating it. They have. The FBI is actually joining with the police to investigate it as a potential hate crime, at least a menacing crime. I mean, it's terrible. Why did these young women deserve that? They're just
they most certainly did not.
Well, living their college dreams, and they get sullied by shit like this. I'm just disgusted.
It's so pathetic. So pathetic. And it is so indicative of what's been going on in Coeur d'Alene for a long, long time now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people that behave like this are most definitely in the minority up there. Mm-hmm. But boy, they make it seem like they're the majority because they're big mm-hmm. and loud and ignorant mm-hmm. and rude. And, you know, the Idaho Freedom Foundation is all over the state. We have all kinds of trouble with those idiots here, too. Yeah. But oh, it yeah. is pathetic and sad. And fuck all them.
Yeah. 100%. Wow. So, yeah. Apparently, tourism in Coeur d'Alene is a multi-billion dollar operation in the summertime, particularly. And, you know, a lot of people are saying today, am I safe to come to Idaho anymore? I imagine their tourism will take a good bite from this.
Oh, I bet it will. I bet that it will. And, you know, I mean, not that it hasn't already, because of things yeah. that have happened at their pride parades and mm-hmm. all kinds of other just ridiculous bullshit with these idiots. I don't know why we can't get rid of them completely. Come on, FBI, do your job.
They seem to be surging. Get rid of all of them. Yeah, they seem to be surging. So, you know, for what it's worth, we don't accept that. And we're incredibly sorry and disgusted yes. that this happened.
Absolutely.
So, moving on from that, we'll talk about some other white supremacists. You know, those guys that had a jailbreak last week.
Yeah.
You guys remember these fools? You probably do. But we told this story last week about Nick Umpenauer and Skylar Mead, who Skylar was incarcerated in Boise at the men's prison. And was in solitary because of security concerns. And he injured himself pretty handily last Wednesday night to the degree that he had to be transported to the hospital. So the sheriff's office or the police said that, or the jail, excuse me, the IDOC said that their policy is that two people go in the ambulance with the inmate and a car follows. And that's what they did. That's been their procedure in the past. Well, they went into the hospital. They got Skylar all stitched up, headed back out to the ambulance bay to take him back to prison. And they were met with gunfire by Nick Umpenauer. Nick has been out of prison only since January. Was housed in the same units as Skylar and is a part of the same white supremacist prison gang called the Aryan Knights.
Yeah.
He did shoot and injure two IDOC officers. Another officer was also shot by friendly fire, unfortunately. They all lived. They're all going to be okay. Thank God. Mm-hmm. We were a little cloudy on what happened after that because some rumors started coming out after they were caught. They were on the lam for 36 hours. Mm-hmm. And they were caught in two different vehicles in the Twin Falls, Filer area. They remarkably weren't alone. Skylar was in a pickup truck with a woman. A woman who is now also facing charges. Her name is Tanya Huber. Tanya, what we know about Tanya is that she was driving in excess of 100 miles an hour through residential neighborhoods in Twin Falls, trying to elude the police with this jackass. We know that when Tanya went in front of the judge, the prosecutor asked for a $500,000 bond. Mm-hmm. The defense argued, said that it would be best if she was just released on her own recognizance. She has deep roots in the area. She isn't going anywhere. She has a job in home health care, don't you know? And she needs to get back to it.
She should definitely not have a job in home health care if she's running around with jailbreaking murderers.
And they said takes care of her grandchildren. I don't know if that means she was raising her grandchildren or what, but also there's grandchildren in the picture, and she really needs to be home. Well, Tanya, then you shouldn't have done this. Are you kidding me? Tanya also had
sucks
fentanyl.
To suck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fentanyl on her. That's what we want. Healthcare workers running around with fentanyl. Who did it belong to, Tanya?
Yeah, where did that come from?
So the judge said, yeah, no, she's been in other trouble too. And he was like, yeah, we're not doing this. So a $500,000 bond stuck.
Good. She hung her hat on the wrong train here.
Mm-hmm. But I want to back up a little bit because we were able to share a little bit of what we knew about the victims when we first recorded this. But we had scooped the victims. It had not been released by law enforcement yet, nor had it been released by any other news, and so we were a little bit careful about their names because we are not out here to hurt families in any way whatsoever. So we can share a little bit more about that now. So what we know is that the first place that they went is a little tiny place called Juliet, Idaho. That's in Nez Perce County. It's about 3-ish hours away, 2 hours away, and from Boise. We know
it was four.
Oh, 4 hours. Four. Okay.
Yeah.
We know that they found a man named James Monty. James, 83 years old. He was out walking his dogs like he always did in the mornings.
Yeah.
And so he's out walking his dogs, and these fools see him. And I'm afraid probably saw him as an easy target. And from what we can gather, it looks like they forced him into his vehicle. He drove a Pacifica and drove him to a different part of the county where they murdered him and left his body and drove away in his car.
With his dogs.
With his dogs. And then they went about an hour and a half up the road and went to Orfino, Idaho, where they went to a place that Skylar knew, or sorry, Nick knew.
Yeah.
Nick knew. This was the cabin of Dawn
Henderson.
Dawn, according to his partner, Dawn knew this kid. Apparently Nick stayed with them. Mm-hmm. He was connected to them when he was a little younger through a neighbor kid. And Nick had not been getting along with his dad and needed a safe place to land. And they provided that for him for a short time. And then were so uncomfortable by his behavior, his who he was, that they asked him to leave. Well, apparently about a month ago, and know that Don lives way up in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
About a month ago, Nick showed up there out of the blue, completely unannounced. Had to hike from the road up into his cabin in deep snow. Just showed up. Sat, had a cup of coffee, visited for about an hour and left. And Dawn was unsettled by it and really wondered why. What did he want? Why was he here? He didn't know. Well, unfortunately, fast forward to last week when they showed up at Dawn's house. And they murdered Dawn. And they cut off Skylar's shackles, some of them, and left them there. And they left the dogs there, too. Dawn's dogs, too, by the way. All the dogs were left.
It's
and were safe. Stupid. Safely recovered. Yeah. How weird to steal that guy's dogs and take them an hour and a half up the road and leave them at someone else's house.
I mean, they connected themselves to these, to all of these crimes in a way that is real stupid.
Like they wanted to get caught. Yeah. They didn't try to not get caught.
Why did they go to Don's? Did they steal something from him? Why were they going there?
My understanding is that the cabin was absolutely ransacked. So I'm going to guess that they did. Yeah.
Yeah. There had to be a reason. Yeah. I mean, obviously, James was the vehicle.
Yeah.
But Don, yeah, it had to be. They had to know something about something he had that they wanted. Mm-hmm. Just so sad. My God.
It's incredibly sad. And their poor families are just so gutted and devastated. Yeah. And so senseless. So from there, it looks like they actually did go into Montana. We at first were skeptical of that. Now we understand. They went across into Missoula, which is about a four-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Missoula, they would have driven all the way down I-15, all the way past where we live, and back to Twin Falls. They almost made a whole circle back to Boise. That would have been easily 16 hours of drive time in the 36 hours that they were out.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, and also all they did was then come back around to where they were, where Skyler was living, but before he went to jail, where his charges come from, and much closer to Boise. Like, they were definitely not running away, I guess.
Was this for clout? Was this, well, I still just, I have so many questions. But when they got back there, of course, then they ended up in two different cars with the genius of the week that was helping them, Tanya. And the police were watching for them. They were already staking out Filer, the Filer area, because Skyler's from there. And apparently had a pretty good sense they were going to come through there because they had worked with the fairgrounds to store a bunch of their cars in buildings at the fairgrounds to keep them under wraps until they were able to run them down, which is pretty interesting. But so then, of course, they were all arrested and taken into custody. Now, both of the men have returned to Ada County now, and they are each on a $2 million bond. Now, of course, Skyler Mead is already in prison, so he's not getting out anyway. And they haven't officially been charged with murder yet. These things will take a hot minute. They've been charged with a bunch of other things, but the murder charges haven't come yet, but they will come down the line. But you guys, I was researching this further, mostly deep diving, trying to figure out how the hell they knew Tanya Huber.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya is old enough, she could be Skylar's mother. I don't think she is, but she's in that age range. She looks to me like, from her very long rap sheet, she's been in Filer or the Twin Falls area forever.
Yeah. Is she an aunt, possibly, or some kind of family member? I mean, why would she get involved in any of this? And we know that Nick's family is from Tennessee. Is that right? So
No, Nick's family is from the Orfino area.
Oh, that's right. They're from, but they have some Tennessee roots too. Something.
No, that's Skyler's family, actually.
Oh, is that Skyler's family? Yeah. Okay.
Now, Nick did spend some time.
Skyler's older brother. Jesus, it's a lot to keep track of.
It is. Nick did spend some time in Florida when he was a little younger. And according to police reports, he was preparing to return. So glad he didn't leave the state. We were able to just put him right back into prison. But while I was researching and diving deeper, I found something kind of mind-blowing. Now we've got these two boys that'll be back in the prison. There's someone else in the prison you might be interested in.
Yeah.
His name is Cody Mead. And he's Skyler's big brother. And holy shit, does he have a story.
Oh my God, he is like the Tasmanian devil.
He is terrifying. He did come here apparently from Tennessee, or his last known address was Tennessee, but he looked like he'd been here for a little bit. He was arrested back around 2016 for holding up a gas station in Twin Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is awful. Just awful. The poor lady that he held up absolutely,
oh my gosh,
scared her to death.
Yeah.
And threatened her, obviously, with a gun. When she testified, she said that he told her, I'm going to put a hole in you. He threatened, you know, obviously, to kill her. It's really sad. She said, the only thing I could think about was my kids. I myself am a recovering addict. I got 5 years clean. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is totally under the influence. It really scared me. It really did. He told her, you got 5 seconds before I start blasting. If I have to come around there, I'm going to put a hole in you.
Neat. God almighty. Terrifying.
He also wanted to know if she would testify against him in court. It was just a very scary experience. Obviously, mm-hmm. He had a big gun and was, she thought, high out of his mind. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it was, but he's also completely bananas.
Yeah, maybe he's just like this all the time. Good Lord.
In his trial, it was revealed that there were jailhouse calls between him and his mother where they were laughing and making fun of that clerk and her statements.
Yeah.
Laughing and making fun of her. His mother. Yeah. His mother.
Yeah. Wow.
That's,
he's a real winner.
Really something. But it gets to be way more wild because when Cody got to the jail, he was an absolute disaster. And yeah. Did a whole bunch of really violent things there. So he climbed over the out of his cell somehow. And held another inmate hostage with a broken mirror that he turned into a shiv.
Mm-hmm. It was one of those little windows up high that are like, yeah, a little opening, you know, that's how he got through.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Crazy.
Absolutely terrifying. They had a huge problem with him spitting. He had to he always had to be masked and have a face guard over his face so that, lawyers and deputies were free from him getting spit on, because he also had 3 charges of spitting on detention deputies.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through one of his hearings, he started complaining loudly of chest pain, saying he couldn't breathe. And his lawyers and the deputies there did not believe him. But as a precaution, they had a medical personnel come and check on him. But this was the kind of stuff he would do, just constantly causing disruption. Yeah. But having a health emergency, that's interesting. Wonder who else did that.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor called him a hazard to everyone around him, including inmates incarcerated with him, which he most certainly was. When he was removed from the jail to go to Boise to prison after he was sentenced to life in prison, for all of the bullshit he's been up to, he was drug out of the jail in handcuffs, screaming at who? His brother. Yeah, because that's when Skyler was also in the Twin Falls jail for having a high-speed chase and shootout with a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. These two are hell on wheels.
They are. We don't want them. They need to stay in that prison forever. Clearly, these are people that do not need to be on the outside. They are not safe in any way.
No. So Cody's getting drugged out of the jail, screaming at Skyler to turn it up, Skyler! Turn it up. Yeah. Well, Skyler tried to turn it up, but Skyler got in trouble because he had a toothbrush that he had carved into a shiv. And he was heard telling other inmates that it would gain clout for him with the Aryan Kings if he were to stab a member of the jail staff with his shiv.
So is that what all of this was about? Knowing he was going to go right back, but he did all this terrible shit out to climb the ranks in that fucking fucked up gang?
You have to wonder. Yeah. You have to wonder. So they're back where they belong. Lots more charges coming. Now we know about Cody, who is in the prison as well. So that, to me, I think could be a missing link of how we're getting information back and forth, potentially. I don't know.
Right?
But
how did Nick Oppenauer know to be at that ambulance bay at that moment in time? There, I think there's still a big question there that they've got to look at.
You know, Cody has been charged 3 times since he's been in prison with drugs. Since he's been in prison. He's been charged 2 times with having meth in the prison. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know, Idaho Department of Corrections, is what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
How did this happen? Because nobody wants to talk about that. How the hell did this happen? How are drugs getting into the jails and other contraband that we keep hearing about, like cell phones? You can't manage
what kind
your jails.
Bullshit's going on. Like,
you can't manage your jails?
Yeah.
Your prisons, not jails. But I think this is it's hugely problematic, this whole situation. And I think it really, as citizens of this state particularly, we really have to ask, what the hell is going on?
Right. What is going on? Because Cody and Skylar have had more charges while they've been incarcerated than they had getting them into being incarcerated. It is insane to look at their rap sheets now and realize that most of the crimes they have committed have been while in jail or prison.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
What is happening?
Yeah.
What is happening? And these two will likely never leave prison now. They will likely never leave because clearly there's going to be some murder charges coming sometime, I would imagine, this week.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing is incredibly concerning. And I think that the victims' families really deserve answers above any of the rest of us. The victims' families deserve answers. How the hell did this happen?
Yeah. How did it happen? Because it was very orchestrated.
And what are we doing to make sure it never, ever happens again? Yeah, exactly. The timing is crazy. It's all crazy. So as a citizen of Idaho today, I'm just mad as hell.
Yeah, I hear you.
Which would lead you maybe ask, why do we live here? Well, sometimes I wonder. There's a lot of wonderful, wonderful things about Idaho. Wonderful. Yeah. But, man, I'm frustrated.
There's a lot of bullshit, too.
A lot of things that need to change. So we wanted to wrap that up because we gave you the preliminary story. Some of those things changed, of course. There were some questions we couldn't answer for ourselves. We can answer more of them now, but certainly not all of them. So I'm still on the hunt to understand how these two knew Tanya Huber, or if they were just connected through drugs. I think that's possible.
Sure.
But how? How did they know Tanya? How did they know Tanya to the degree that Tanya was willing to put her safety at risk for them and her freedom at risk for them?
Why?
Man, you took a real bad bet there, Tanya. I didn't show you guys Tanya. Mrs. Tanya.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think she doesn't seem clean.
She doesn't appear clean, no. No. I don't think any of these people are clean. But yeah, what was this really?
Of course. Yeah, these are all the new mugshots. So, of course, this is Skylar Mead.
With the crooked penis on his chin or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whatever that is. Chin. We're not sure. We think penis is probably the best.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
The 111 means Aryan Knights.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this is Nick Oppenauer.
I can't believe Nick doesn't have any tattoos on his face. Like, I guess that's why he's in this time, is for a real solid sit down with the prison tattoo artist. He needs the dick on his chin and the 111 and.
Maybe
all
he just earned some. Maybe he just earned some marks.
Maybe he did.
Look at the difference between him. This was a 2015 photo on his Facebook page. 2015. Yeah. Oh, to now.
Yeah.
This is his whole life is destroyed. He's never coming back from this. He will never leave prison.
No. No, and he could very easily be given the death penalty for what they've done.
Yeah, yeah.
This is all first-degree murder stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you know when charges come officially. These are definitely a case that we're going to be tracking all the way through our system here in Idaho. Yeah. And we'll be back tomorrow night, Wednesday night, for case updates at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. And there's a bunch. Oh, man, there's some doozies. There's a bunch there of stuff are. In Murdaugh.
I know. We'll be Why? Done with that case, please.
No,
we
never.
All want to be can't. Over. Just stay in prison forever. That's all we want.
Not so long as the pooter is still on the case, man. He's going to keep stirring stuff up. So lots there. There's just stuff kind of everywhere. There's a lot going on. So we'll update that. Now, last week, we had an epic failure with YouTube. For some reason, YouTube told you guys that you were not subscribed to our channel. And yeah, you were. So we did some reading and discovered that YouTube was having kind of just widespread failures that night. So we're going to redo the watch party so that we can actually do the watch party. So this is what we're watching. It's Lover, Stalker, Killer on Netflix. That'll be at 8:15 tomorrow night if you are a part of our membership on YouTube. If you're not, you can join it just by clicking that join button right on our homepage there on YouTube. Now, the way the watch party works, of course, is that you stream it on your own device at home. We can't stream it to you because that would be illegal. So we'll stream it on our own devices at home, and we'll all hang out in the chat room and watch it and chat about it together. So that's how it works. That's what we'll do.
Yes, we will. And it is a good show. I was bummed that no one could see it last week, so we'll watch it. It's going to be a familiar case when you start to watch it. If you haven't seen this one already, you'll recognize it, but it is a hell of a story.
Okay. I'm here for it. It's been a hell of a story all week, just everywhere I turn. So let's have some more.
Yes, it has. It's so true. God.
Let's have some more. All righty, guys. Well, that's it for us. So please take good care of yourselves. You are so worth it. This has been yet another production of the True Crime Squad.
Bye, everybody.